this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 80 of Art for Your Ear. This podcast is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Okay, so coming up the week of December 19th through 23rd, Saatchi Art is holding a very special holiday sweepstakes on their Instagram feed. They're offering five lucky art lovers, that's you guys, the chance to win an original work of art. I'll have the link and fancy hashtags for you next week, so stay tuned for that. You could win a work of art that you're going to love, and as always, an artist will benefit directly. Win-win. Okay, so today is going to be fun, because when you invite New York-based artist Trey Spiegel to chat, fun is a guarantee. I had Trey on at the very beginning of Art for Your Ear, I think episode 3 or 4, maybe? Anyway, that was really before I had any kind of groove going, so I've got more questions for him today. This episode was actually going to be a recap of all of the crazy fun we had together at Art Basel Miami last week. But then we didn't end up seeing each other, except for one random encounter on a beautiful street corner. There is, of course, photographic selfie proof of that encounter. Anyway, we will still talk about all sorts of things, Art Basel being one of them, I am quite sure. I kind of love just letting Trey go, because I will tell you, that guy has stories. Anyway, he's on a book tour around the US at the moment, promoting his beautiful and soon to be colorful, that's where you come in, coloring book titled, Yes, Transform Your Life with Color by Number. He's in LA today, so let's give him a call and see what he's up to. Here we go.
Wow. Are we doing the interview already?
No. Well, okay. I mean, we could be, but who's going to want to hear about leaf blowing?
I don't know.
Me.
I don't know, I want to hear about any of this.
They're all going to want to hear about it. Okay. Let's start right now.
Okay. Do we pretend that you just called me?
Yeah, but I'm going to leave that part in. So then they're going to know that I didn't pretend to call you. So okay. Now it's just happening. Trey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you tired?
Well, you know, I'm on this like mini book tour. So, no matter where you are or what you're doing, all anyone ever is on email. So that's all you do is like, you know, respond to email, and then you also have to check your phone and your Facebook, and you know, so we none of us exist anywhere in the world except online.
It's true. It's where it all happens. And it's not, right. Didn't really happen until you post about it.
Yeah. Or yeah, it's just like, no matter what you think you want to be doing, you somehow got to be near some device so people can like, you know, contact you about whatever, whether it's important or not.
I know. I didn't have a cell phone for the longest time, specifically for that reason, because I was like, I don't want to be that like accessible.
I know. I was seeing my friend Christian here in LA, and we were sitting at this restaurant, and I was showing him something from Art Basel on my phone, and I was reaching across the table holding it, and he was just, you know, sticking his head out and looking at it. I was like, take it in your hand. He was like, I don't have a cell phone. I was like, I'm not giving it to you. I just want you to look at it, and I'm not your servant. Like, pick up the phone. He didn't even want to touch it, because that would mean that somehow he's connected to it or something.
That's right, and then he wouldn't be able to turn back.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. It's like, you know, it's like, were you the same person who was like riding their horse like 100 years ago? Like, I don't need a car. I've got my old horse and I'm not, you know.
Embrace the future, friends.
Yeah, I mean, you got to. You, like, I remember talking to people who were like, because I was talking about my artist website, you know, whatever, 15 years ago. And they're like, artists don't need websites. I have a gallery. They have a website. I was like, okay, fine. Whatever.
You were ahead of the curve.
Not really. It's just, you know, it's not that hard to do. But like for the last 3 years, I've been writing for the WOW Report, and I've sort of understood how social media, I mean, you understand how social media works.
I sure do. But you know what? I think social media was made for me because, well, my family always teases me that I never stop talking and that I overshare. So social media is literally perfect for me. I can just overshare all day long around the world.
Yeah, well, you don't seem to be oversharing because you're not talking about yourself. You're talking about other artists and you're talking about other things. So it's not like you're like, I had, you know, pasta for lunch and here's what I put in it and then my foot hurts. And, you know, it's not mundane.
I should start doing that, though.
No,
My foot does hurt. No.
No one does care about your foot, and no one cares about what you have for lunch. Trust me.
All right, fine. Trey, you know what I realized?
What?
So last time were you episode like 2 or 3? You were. Oh. You were like right at the beginning. And you know what? I didn't know what I was doing.
No, I don't think I was that early. I think you'd done a bunch of people before me. No,
I don't think so. I think you were right at the very beginning. And I had no plan. I still don't really know what I'm doing, but at least now I have like a structure. And you know what I realized that I didn't ask you anything about? I didn't ask you anything about when you were a kid. So I can't even picture you anything other than what you are now. So I need to picture a little Trey and know if you were artsy or not.
Oh, if I was artsy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, is that in Texas, that's code for gay.
Were you gay?
That's your question then. Yes. I mean, I didn't realize I was gay. I mean, I probably did realize I was gay, but the whole world was saying it was the worst thing you could be.
Right.
And, you know, believe me, in Texas, they still are saying that. You know, I'm going there soon, but.
You'll be safe in Austin.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just when you see what's happening all over the place, you're just like, it just. It completely freaks you out. So I think that in relationship to what's going on right now in our political climate, what's happening to the LGBT community and what we foresee happening in the next 4 years, I've always had a big distrust of people in general because, you know, I knew even if they were nice to me when I left the room, they said fag. And I knew, you know, being young and gay in Texas in the 60s and 70s, I mean, I was in high school in the 70s. It was not, you know, there was no club about it. There was no like, let's talk about trans bathrooms. I mean, it was just, you know, and so I never really completely came out. I came out to my best friend, but, you know, I don't know what that necessarily has to do with creativity, but I think it certainly had a lot to do with my creativity, which was get the hell out of Texas. So, which is what I did. I mean, I went to work for a magazine when I was still in high school, just about out of high school. And maybe we talked about that last time.
We did talk about that. But like when you were, did you make stuff when you were little, or was that just not part of who you were at that stage?
Well, I don't think I had the influence of being an artist. I mean, I like to decorate my room. You know, yeah. I like dress a certain way. I would go visit my grandmother in Harlingen, way in the bottom of Texas where I was born. And, you know, she was, you know, a typical kind of grandmotherly creative. So she would do the flowers at the church. And, you know, I would, you know, she'd say, well, I want to paint the kitchen. So I would like help her pick out the colors for the kitchen and paint it and do the wallpaper. And, you know, so that was my That was the only thing I had access to, was like my room and my parents' house. And it wasn't like I was taking art classes. I mean, my dad, I think, kind of painted a little bit when he was young. But the idea of creativity really came in high school when I was, you know, the art director and the advertising director of the yearbook in the newspaper.
Me too. So
that came about. That was really the first exercising of my creativity, which has to do with, you know, popular culture and now what we call social media, which, you know, when I was in elementary school, my favorite subject was current events.
Really?
Well, they'd say, okay, now we're having current events, and people would raise their hand and they'd talk about something that was going on. So I'd talk about the TV show Batman, or I would talk about whatever I wanted to talk about. And they're like, that's not what we're talking about. I was like, well, it's current and it's happening, so it's a current event.
Oh my gosh, that explains so much.
So much. Well, I always say that when you're young, if you really figure out what you're good at, not what you can make money at or not what the world tells you you should be doing or whatever. Like, you know, if you like to gossip, you know, or you like to, you know, travel a lot or whatever, or you like to, you know, be bossy or whatever, it's to really get at what you're good at. And if we had career counselors that would really be able to understand that, they could say, P.S., there's something called a beauty editor. P.S., there's something called a travel writer. You know, like there, and now there's, of course, there's so many different new kinds of jobs that relate to social media and all sorts of bizarre titles. But I think a lot of times people don't do what they're really good at, in that it's what they're naturally drawn to.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and I think I try to do that. I mean, I think in a certain way. So when I make my work, it really has to do with the law of attraction. It really has to do with visualizing something, and whether that's a show or a painting or a particular thing I want to be doing, and visualizing it so well that you feel what it's like to be in that. If it's a person, you know what that person is like.
Mm-hmm.
And you really create all of the details in your mind's eye, so much so that when it happens to you, it doesn't seem like any big deal because you've already created it in your mind.
Yeah, you just need to sit down and now do it.
Yeah, well, it's not even about doing it. It's about drawing it towards you and not doing it in a way. So it's about not doing it, you know, like doing like this book that I'm out promoting, Yes, Transform Your Life with Color by Number. I wanted to do that book. I didn't even know I wanted to do that book. And through a friend, we started talking about doing it and it didn't happen. And then I didn't follow up with this other person. And the next thing I knew, Judith Regan wrote me an email, the subject of which, I want to publish your book. So that when that happens, I think like, okay, well, I kind of created this in my mind. Like, I don't know how.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, totally.
That, you know, I mean, you've done it with your books and with various things, and you explain the process to people. And that's why people like what you say and what you do, is because you're talking about something that everybody can relate to and putting it in terms that people can kind of understand, and not making it, you know, too self-helpy, airy-fairy.
Mm-hmm. I hope.
Yeah, well, no, you're not. You're really good at it. I mean, I used to work with Marcia Kilgore, and she started Bliss Spa, and she's had 15 businesses since then. But she wrote the copy for the catalog, and she had a certain voice that people just clicked with, you know? And you have that kind of voice with people that, you know, it's the way people talk. It's the way you think. It's a little bit self-effacing. It's very easy to approach. You know, and I hope that this book has that, a little bit of that too, in that, you know, that that's not the rarefied art world you're trying to explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, let's talk about, I can't talk about myself. Let's talk about your book.
Well, I'm in your book, so we could talk about your book.
Yeah, we could. That's true. I love your story.
I haven't seen your book.
What?
I was at the Novogratz yesterday, and Creative Block was sitting right next to Courtney, and I was like, oh, I'm in that book. And they're like, oh, we know her.
I know. Small world, hey?
Right.
That's so funny. But do you know that I've never actually met them?
Yeah, well, I know them a little bit, but I went to their house, which is a castle.
I know. I want to go.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, you can't believe this house. It's unbelievable.
And the art. He's got so much art.
Well, that's why I was there. They bought one of my paintings, and it's going to be, and that's the other thing. Talk about visualizing something. So I kind of knew the house because I'd seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
And so we were walking around. I was talking to Bob, and I said, oh, so where are you going to hang, you know, my painting? And they said, oh, you know, right where you come in, you know, that black wall? Exactly where I visualized it. Like the moment I walked in, even before I got there, I thought it's got to be in the front or whatever. And the next thing I knew, that's where they told me they're hanging. And I was like, okay.
I love that. That, you know, I think it is. It's such a key to things. Like, and I always say to people, like even on the podcast, you know, I always ask, one of the last questions is usually like, you know, what's next for you? And what do you want to be next for you? Because I think when you say things out loud and put it into the universe, you know, or like even just for yourself, like just write it down so that it's not just floating in your head, but it becomes an actual like thing that you're like, yeah, I want that. Or, you know.
Yeah, I think my mind works that way already. I mean, actually, there's a piece that I did, which was actually a paint can.
Love those.
And on the back of it, it has that key phrase. And I ask myself it all the time, and I'm going to make the painting with these words in it because it's just on the back of it and it's never been that overt, but it says, what do you want to happen? And most important is part two. And what are you willing to do to make it happen?
Hmm.
And so people, a lot of times, they put the first part out, but they don't define it clearly enough in order to answer what the second part is. What are you willing to do?
Right.
To make that happen? Do you just want to sit there and wait till it falls on your head? Are you actually willing to do something? And what are you willing to do? You know, are you willing to quit your job? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to, like, turn your mind off and stop listening to your negative, you know, chatter or whatever it is? You know, what are you willing to do? And that's the part where people get hung up. The first part is not that hard, really.
Right.
That's like an Oprah wish moment. You know, what do you want? You know, that's easy, you know, if you're standing in front of Oprah. But, you know, it's not about that. It's really about the second part. And that's where people get hung up.
Well, and that's what, like, see, you and I, whenever we see each other or whatever, we always just joke around and whatever. And I, like, that's why I was so excited to do this again, because, well, the reason I wanted to do it this week was that we were supposed to hang out with each other in Miami last week.
Oh, that was so much fun. That was the best 5 minutes.
It wasn't the best 5 minutes you've ever had on a random street when I yelling across from a sushi restaurant, Trey.
Well, you have to describe what happened.
Well, it was so funny because, so we had planned, I was going to come to your book signing. It was all like, you know, and I thought, well,
you ordered the dress.
I was going to, yeah, I ordered your dress, and which arrived yesterday, by the way.
Do you like it?
I love it so much. I'm going to Hawaii in January, so we'll wear it every day in Hawaii. But my plan had been to show up all, you know, Trey Spiegeled out at your book signing. I had it all planned. Anyway, I wasn't able to come. The dress didn't arrive. And I was having lunch on a patio, like a few blocks away from where Art Basel
at Lincoln
was.
Road.
Yeah. And I was sitting with two women and that I don't know very well. So I was being polite and everything. And then I look across the street and there you are walking across the street on a phone. And I was like, I'm really, really sorry. Just a second. Trey! Like, yelling across the street. Got to run across it. And you were wearing your Trey Spiegel shirt. So we would have matched.
Yeah.
It would have been fabulous.
Not exactly the same pattern. I had the white one with the black and white ocean line work, but I had actually gone, it's funny, you're talking about artist artwear, is I had gone to H&M to try to get the Alex Katz pieces that had been just released that day, and they sold out in the first 20 minutes. So I paid $10 to park my car to go buy a shirt that didn't exist, but I did get to see you, so it was worth the $10. And we have a picture to prove.
We have a picture, which I will put in this post, and it was so, should we tell them that we were trying to take the picture for several... We didn't actually have the phone flipped around properly, so we were taking...
Oh, that just makes it sound dumb.
We were taking pictures of the other side of the street. Where are we? Why can't we see... Oh, okay. Let's just... Anyway, so in our 5 minutes, we got the selfie, and then off you went, and off I went, and that was that. So I wanted to have you on today so we could be like, remember that time in Miami? But that's all we've got. But I was super excited to have you on because we always do this. We just goof around and laugh and whatever. And then I thought... I don't know anything about, well, we now know about your childhood, but I didn't know anything about how you work. I know that you live in New York in a super cool neighborhood. And then you have this barn, this beautiful home that's not just a barn, in upstate New York that you go to all the time. And so where, I want to know about how you work, because all I ever see is the result. And you always, it always seems so effortless. And so I want to know, like, where are you working? Are you by yourself? Is there music on? What's going on? Paint me a picture, Trey Spiegel.
Well, I'm changing it a little bit. I mean, I probably shouldn't broadcast this on the radio or on your podcast or whatever, but I'm actually selling the apartment in the city.
Oh.
And I am buying a new studio upstate, which is a converted garage, which is glassed in on one side and has a creek on the other. It has 13-foot ceilings, and it has... a workspace area, and it has a little retail gallery space area. And then upstairs, it has a place that's going to be a little apartment. And then the other half of it is storage, all the paint. So the 3,000 paint by numbers can go there for storage. So I've spent the last 12 years going back and forth from the barn upstate to my studio in the West Village, which is quite small, but I had a painting studio there. So I had a little studio in the city, and I had a little studio upstate, and I rent the place out upstate on the weekends, you know. And so I had two kind of non-functioning sort of studios. And I was going back and forth, which is 2 hours. They're only 2 hours away. So I just decided, this is so ridiculous. Like, why am I going back and forth? Because most people do this when they have a full-time job, and then they want to get away for the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like Maggie Smith. It's like, what is a weekend? You know, I don't know. I don't know what a weekend is anymore. It's like, it's just all a bunch of days. So even though you don't have a full-time job, you still think of the world in the same way that everybody else does, which is weekday, weekend. I've started to forget all that. I don't even think about the day and the night. If I want to get up at three in the, you know, I would wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and I have an idea. I start doing something and I go back to sleep at 6 or 7 and get up at 10. Like, I you know, the rules, it's ridiculous how we always think of things the way we're presented with them. And we don't change the rules once we're like, so now that's what I'm doing. I'm changing the rules a little bit. I'm going to spend a lot of time upstate. Even before this election, I was thinking for the next 3 or 4 years, I just want to like create work. But now I can really just, you know, ignore the world.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly ignoring it because I still write for the WoW Report and I'll go back to the city all the time. My friend has a brownstone and I'll trade places and I'll go and stay for 4 or 5 days and get my work done and then go back upstate and work. But
yeah.
When I was in the city, I had several assistants that I've worked with for years and they would come to the studio and we would paint together. And it was really, it's really great fun to be doing paint by number paintings with friends. And like you said, the radio's on or the music is on and Lamont, my dog, is there running around. And so I hope to create a new kind of atmosphere like that where I can be at my house in the morning and write for the blog and then go to the studio and work for 5 or 6 hours. And I'll have an apartment there too. So when the barn is rented, I'll stay there. Or if I decide, oh, I don't want to go back there, I'm going to stay here. Or,
oh, that's awesome. How far away from each other are they?
10 minutes. Yeah, it's just 10 minutes.
This and is so brilliant.
It's going to be good. The town I live in is called Youngsville. So I'm growing old in Youngsville. And then the town where I'm buying the studio is Jeffersonville. And I was born on April 13th, which is Thomas Jefferson's birthday. So, you know, I'm fulfilling the legacy of Jefferson.
Wow. I love it. It's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
So do you know when this is all happening?
Well, it's all happening now. I mean, I got the offer on my apartment yesterday, believe it or not.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've been in the studio. I've been renting the studio for the last 8-9 months. And so I'm already in there and I've been working somewhat. But the last 6 months have been a lot about the book.
Yeah.
So no back and forth, no book, no running around. I'm just going to like work and paint. And I've got 5 or 6 shows that I'm ready to go with.
What are where are those and everything?
Well, it's going to sort of depend. I've got some things that are already kind of lined up. And then I have some things that I want, some new things that I want to do as well, which I'm not exactly ready to talk about exactly what all those things are. But no, it's only because they're not fully formed yet in my mind. I mean, once I know what they are, I'm happy to talk about them because a lot of times talking about them, like you said, makes the thing come into fruition and you sort of realize it all.
Okay. This is the other thing I want to know about. This is the effortless thing that I see. So are you rep by a gallery or no?
Well, I have galleries that I work with. The gallery that I had in New York, I ended up being involved in a kind of a somewhat of a mess, and the gallery is now closed. So that's another aspect of my work is I feel like there's a new phase coming. Also, do you know about Saturn return?
No.
You know what that is?
No.
So when you're born, the planets are aligned in like a certain way, the stars and the planets. And that's, you know, when you do your astrology, that's why they want to know what time you're born and where you were born. So when you go through 4 7-year cycles, and when you're around 28, all the planets come back to where everything comes back to where it was when you were born. It takes 28 years for all that to around that long. So you think about what happens when people are 28. They're like, they, you know, famously Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and Amy Winehouse, like left the planet. You get a new job, you get married, major things happen when you're that age.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your second Saturn return, which is around 56, 57, which, I'm happy or sad, I don't know which, to say that's where I am right now. So I'm actually happy to say that. I know plenty of dead people, so I'm happy to not be one of them.
Can I just interject to say I would have never guessed that you were 56, 57?
Oh, no? Okay. Well,
no.
That's good. Well, especially not on a podcast.
Well, hey, I saw you for 5 whole minutes. I got to assess the situation.
We've seen each other in person before.
No, I know.
So, So anyway, that's where I've been for the last year. So I've been setting myself up for the second Saturn return, which is a major life of people. You also think about that. People get divorced. People get a boob job or buy a sports car or decide they want to be a woman or like whatever like happens when you're
56. Or all of them at once.
Or all three if you happen to be Caitlyn Jenner. But you know, now, and then if you, then your third Saturn return is like 84. So that's when people like leave the planet. They're like, okay, I'm done. But if you can make it through your third Saturn return, you can live to be 100. You know, most people are like, I'm done. But you see that people who live to be 84, 85, they live into their 90s sometimes, you know, because – so it, none of this is scientific. And, you know, a lot of people are like, whatever, they don't believe it. But I've felt it. And if you think about those times and if you go Google search Saturn return, you can find out a lot more information. But that's – I've been psychically feeling this coming on. And it's actually – I met this really great astrologer from who's from England. And she looked mine up. And mine's December of this coming year.
Oh,
that's my actual Saturn return.
Next December or right now?
No, this coming, this next year.
Oh, okay.
2017. So
you can get your ducks in a row, get your studio set up, and then just wait to see what happens.
Well, then you're really, you know, and I want to do all of those things that you say you're going to do, you know, like I haven't rejiggered my will. And now that I'm selling this property and so I'm going to get my life organized, you know, because, but anyway, yeah, that's part of this whole plan too, is to get myself set up for this new phase.
I really love that a lot. And I mean, I bet it'll affect your work.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, as we said, with the political climate we're in right now, you know, artists are either going to seem very important or not important at all. And I think artists that I know are questioning themselves, like, now what?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we, you know, we all have to kind of take stock of what's happening and especially artists, you know, that do have a voice and can kind of, you know, crystallize things for other people. And
do you think you will do that? Like, is that what you want to do?
Well, my work isn't specifically political. I mean,
it could be though.
Well, I'm doing the show in Los Angeles next month, which World of Wonder is doing. It's called Trump, the Art of Resistance. And they've asked people from we should talk about this on air because I didn't think about it. People can submit their work and I'll get you the information so you can include it in the post.
Okay.
But it's going to be in Los Angeles. World of Wonder, their headquarters is on Hollywood Boulevard and they have a storefront and they've done exhibits there before. So they're going to take unsolicited, you know, people are going to donate the work and if it's sold, it goes to the ACLU. The money goes to the ACLU. They bought 1,400 copies of my book for the holidays and sent them out and we created this little package with them. And the image that we used for World of Wonder was this rocket flying through the air. The original painting for that was a diptych, a double rocket, which says, what kind of world do you want? And that's, I think what I'm going to do is have a blank version of that that people will paint during the show that says, what kind of world do you want? I mean, I think that without much thought, those ideas kind of come out, whether you like it or not. If you're tuned into who you are and what you're thinking about and what your life is about and your place in the world, you kind of can't help but relate to that stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm. Well, I'm Canadian. I didn't even get to vote or anything. I just had to watch on Facebook everything happen and, you know, continuing to happen and. And my collages are usually just like funny and light and whatever, and there's been I've thrown a few Donalds and Hillarys and things in there because I can't, like, you fall asleep thinking about it, like it's very hard not to react.
You have to send one of these in then for the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, it's like they're going to, it's on worldofwonder.net and I'll give you the email information so that people can send the stuff in, but it's basically just about sending them an image and then sending them the work. And it's going to happen soon because it's the day before the inauguration. So it's January 18th. Yeah. So it's like, you know, right around the corner.
Okay. Well, I'll put it all in there so that people can do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're the perfect person. We didn't plan this at all, but this is a perfect way to do that, to get the word out, and to get people from all over sending it in, and not just people who saw, you know, the blog post on World of Wonder. But they've got a giant, huge space. Maybe the ceilings are 20 feet tall. So there's a wall that's like 100, you know, not 100, maybe 50, 60 feet long and about 20 feet tall that everything will be hung salon style on.
Wow. Like,
gigantic wall. And they have a, they're all right on Hollywood Boulevard, not too far from Donald Starr, believe it or not. And they have a window and, you know, they have these shows and it's just a mob scene. Like, everybody comes to these shows. And for the readers who don't, I mean, readers, listeners, whoever are listening, it's the World of Wonder produces RuPaul's Drag Race and Million Dollar Listing. They did the Mapplethorpe documentary. They've done tons of movies and TV shows over the years. But specifically, they do RuPaul's Drag Race. So you can imagine the crowd that shows up. so...
Oh, and I'm just going to miss the actual thing because I'm going to be in L.A. on February 18th, so I'm like a month late.
Oh, well, the show might still be up.
Yeah, maybe. That would be amazing.
I think it'll probably be up for a while. And yeah, so we're still working it out. I went over the other day and I know where my wall is and I'm talking to Theron Smothers who's curating it. So we'll have to make sure when your blog post comes out, I'll put it again on WoW Report. So then we're going to keep circling the wagons.
Okay. That sounds good. This is going up this weekend.
Oh, it is. Okay. Perfect. Well, I'll do it this. I'll repost this weekend.
Okay, cool.
I'll be in Austin by then, but.
Jet setter. Okay. We have to talk about your coloring book.
Oh yeah. Yes. Transform Your Life with Color by Number.
So much fun. Okay. So
did I send you one?
No. Because what? We thought we were going to exchange books at Miami, and then we didn't do that either.
I had one in my car. I should have ran to go get one. And I guess we kind of halfway thought that you might show up at the opening, but I don't have your book either. So
I know. And you're in it.
I know. So
I'll send you one.
Yeah. So you can get my book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Walmart, and it's $12.99 in the stores, but on those sites, it's like less than $10.
So good. And see, it's perfect timing right before Christmas. Everybody go get one.
Well, I mean, I hope people do. It's really fun. It's a really fun book. It tells you all about the history of Paint by Number and how I use them to transform my own life and how I make my work. And then it has about 40 something drawings inside of recreating my paintings and how to do it wrong. And it has the palette and everything. So
that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know if they're basically your paintings decolored, and then
a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are like that. The trick was when we did the book, it sounds easy. You just make a coloring book because I make color, but my stuff is based on vintage Paint by Number. But the trick was I never used a consistent numbering system for the paintings. So number 7 wasn't always orange and number 11 wasn't always purple. So everything had to be renumbered.
Oh.
Ew.
So that actual people could actually do it.
Yeah. And my assistant who's worked with me for a dozen years now, Jamie Neal, she redid all of those and we created new drawings. She's great because she does it all in Illustrator and there's a certain line width and a certain color of gray or blue that we use. And it's her numbering system. So that has to be pretty mechanical. That's not about artwork. That's really about creating it so that it's done in such a way so people can recreate them. And when you color it in, it looks like it's what it's supposed to look like.
That must have taken her forever.
It did take us a long time to coordinate all of them. She's great though. And you know, we've been working together for years. So she's really helped me figure out how to recreate this work. I mean, she knows as much or more about my work than I do. so this is, you know, her book too. She was thrilled when it all finally came out. But yeah, so some of them are paintings that are specific that I've made before. Some of them are deconstructed, and some of them you know most of them use a palette which is in the back of 24 colored pencils. But some of them don't coordinate with that palette and you can color them in however you want to and color them in creatively. And if you want, you can Xerox it on cardstock and use different mediums to paint or do whatever you want. So I'm hoping that people color the book and then take a picture and hashtag it. In the back, it says, you know, hashtag it with yes, color by number. And, you know, I'm Trey NYC on Instagram and Twitter. So I'm hoping people start to do that, because I really like to see these things colored in by other people. And of course, every single one is different.
Yeah, that's really cool. And actually, that reminds me of like your project in Creative Block, where you said to get cardstock, get the same image, photocopy it a bunch of times, and treat it differently. You could do that with this stuff.
Yeah, well, that I did essentially what that exercise that's in your book, I put in this book, and there are ways to do it wrong. I say, you know, I tell you different ways to do it wrong, you know, wrong in quotes.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of creative freedom. A lot of these coloring books, I mean, I don't want to be critical of other people's books, but they're not great. The drawing, first of all, the drawings a lot of times aren't that great. And then they're just doodle books. And then you have to think too much, because they don't tell you what color to color or anything. So you're like, okay, well, I got to find the pencil. Is that blue? Is that purple? How do I do? You know, it's fun to just kind of doodle on them, but I don't know. I find it kind of stupid in the end, because, and I feel like if anybody had any right to do a coloring book, I did, because my work is based on that. So,
well, that's why when I heard that, when you told me you were doing this, I was like, well, that's perfect.
Yeah, I wanted to do it for a while, but it was more involved and complicated than I thought. Like I said, most of these coloring books are doodle books. And, you know, Kate Middleton now, it was recently announced, she's really into coloring. And, you know, so my publisher's always like, oh, this trend has peaked already. And I'm like, it's a genre now. It's not a trend anymore. It's just a genre of book. Like, they're not going to suddenly not be there anymore.
Yeah. Did you send one to Kate?
Well, I got to figure out how to do that. You know, when I did that show with Jonathan Adler, a pop queen in London, Sarah Ferguson came, which is her husband's aunt.
Yes.
And she told me that one of the princesses, I think it was Princess Beatrice or something, was studying art, and she really liked paint by number. We had a whole conversation, believe it or not, about it. And I had done a painting of the queen that was in that show. So, you know, circling around royalty. My brother's like, just send it to Kensington Palace. I'm like, it'll never get to her. I might as well throw it in the garbage, you know?
Well, you never send it to Stella McCartney, and she can just, like, as she's walking by the palace one day, slip it in.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I sent one to her. I think we contacted her because of something with the book, but you're right, I got to send Stella one.
There you go.
I don't know how close she is to them, but I want to get her one anyway, because the painting I did for her is on the cover.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking of that. Yes. You're so cool.
Oh, yeah, aren't I?
You are. Okay, here's somebody I want to know if you know. Do you know Sarah Jessica Parker?
I don't. She lives in my neighborhood, though.
This is what I want. I'm going to put this in the universe. Are you ready?
Oh, you're going to ask me stuff? What?
Well, no, I'm putting it out in the universe.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so did you watch that show, Work of Art?
I auditioned for it.
No.
Well, my friend Sean Fader, actually, he wasn't my friend. I was standing in line. The place where you went to go audition was like 3 blocks from my house. And so when I found that, I was like, I just got to walk over there. This is stupid. So meanwhile, I'm waiting in line for like 3 hours or whatever. And the guy in front of me was this artist, Sean Fader. I was just with him in.
Yeah, I saw you mentioning him all the time in all your photos. Okay, yeah, go on.
Yeah, so that's how we met. So we auditioned for it. He got in to see Jerry Saltz. And actually, Jerry said something very funny to him. He was like, we're not going to pick you for the show. And he said, Jerry got up and walked over to me and said, get out of here, kid. You're a real artist.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, it's like the nicest thing you've ever said, which is actually an insult.
Yeah.
So I remember, of course, I remember Work of Art. Yeah. And Bill Powers and Cynthia Rowley and those guys were on it. And it was kind of a New York show in a way.
Yeah. And I really liked it. And I think it only went two seasons. Did it even do a second season?
I think they did a second season. When I auditioned, it was the first season, so nobody knew what it was. But it's a little bit weird because, you know, some people's practice might work better in that show. But because they have these different challenges, my work is my work. And, you know, I can be kind of conceptual and bend in different directions, but...
Is your work. Well, see, that's what I want to do. Okay,
I'm going to take balloons and make a painting out of them just because that's the challenge. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to take a break on this one because this is stupid. It's not doing it. I'm sure that's why I would have been on the show 5 minutes.
That's right. Well, Jerry would have told you to get out of there too, I'm sure. But I really, so Sarah Jessica Parker was one of the executive producers on it.
Yeah,
and and I know that on her new show, I think she plays an art collector, doesn't she, on that divorce show?
I haven't watched it yet.
Me either, but I think that's what I heard somebody say. And so, Anyway, she was in Miami and I was like doing, I was trying to get the universe to like make us bump into each other and become best friends. But
what was she doing in Miami? Do you know what she was doing?
She did some, she did an event on the 29th, some Art Basel related event.
Huh.
With Vanity Fair at a Vanity Fair party.
See how what level that is? Like, you're talking to me about that level. I used to work at Vanity Fair, but I don't get invited to the parties.
Anyway, I need to find her and say, yes, I understand that it wasn't quite right, but I have ideas of how it could be quite right. Because it's
the work of art, you mean?
Yeah. I think you could change it a little.
But why do you need her? Why do you need her?
Well, because she was an executive producer on it, so she obviously believed in it. And then now she's at HBO, and I think has her own office at HBO, blah, blah, blah. So, and well, I would just like to be her friend.
Well, so it's really more about being Sarah Jessica Parker's friend than it has to do with art. Because I was going to say, World of Wonder, you know, has a deal with HBO, and they do TV shows all the time. If you have a show that you want to pitch, you can pitch it to other people other than her. But if it's really all about Sarah Jessica Parker, then I don't know if I can help you.
Well, no, it's not. It's about the show slash being friends with her. But well, if I could do two for...
How would you make the show different than it was before? Because I thought
I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it on here. I give away all my top secret ideas.
Oh. All right. Well, as if somebody's going to steal it and go make a show. This kind of show is not that easy to make, P.S. You know, it's not that easy. It's not like they can go out and do it tomorrow because... First of all, most people are going to say, no, no one's interested in art. So you're going to have to make it popular. And they're going to look at the failures of work of art and why it didn't get season three, you know. I think it had three. See, I think maybe it had three, but not four. Because I know one of the winners. One of the winners is my friend on Facebook. And I know some of the people that, you know, that were on it and stuff like that. But I felt like conceptually flawed, the whole idea of the show.
Yeah, it was. And I had, do you know Peregrine?
That's Connie? Who I know.
Yeah, me too. And yeah. So I had her on the podcast and we talked all about it. And it was her take on it was so interesting because she said she basically went into it thinking of it almost like as an art piece in a way, like that she was just going to, you know, basically being on TV was like being in a performance piece.
Yeah. Well, that's not wrong. I mean, no. That's totally right because there's nothing real about it. I mean, you're on TV, so it's not exactly like it's a real challenge. It's a TV challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was very interesting hearing her take. Anyway. Okay. It's just, I want to do a TV show there.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we should talk not where the world is listening then.
Okay. For all the top secrets.
As if the world is listening.
They all are. The entire world is listening right now. Sarah Jessica Parker is probably a few blocks away from me right now listening.
No, she's not. She's in New York City, I'm sure.
Oh, you're in LA. I forgot.
I'm in LA.
I keep forgetting where you are. See, yeah. Jet setter. I can't keep up.
I know. Me neither.
Oh, my God. Okay, so what else was I going to ask you?
I don't know.
Well, I really just wanted to bring up all of your clothes and stuff so that I could say my dress arrived, but I already told you that. It's very flattering.
You like it?
Yes.
It's nice, the material and everything and the print. I really like that one. That's the one with the teapot and the flowers, right?
No, I got the blue paint by number lines and the splotches.
Oh, that's right. I kept telling you to get the other one.
You took me to, and I ignored you and I got the other one. And then I have a great big red wraparound belt that's sort of the same red as the one of the splotches, and it looks so cute and it's very flattering on the girls. And it's
Anthropologie is stupid. They were going to buy that line and then they didn't buy it, so they were stupid that they didn't buy it.
Why? And then you say you work on commission, right? Big mistake. Huge.
Exactly. if anybody wants to go to my website, they can see it on there. They don't order it through me. They order it through Print All Over Me. But the links are there and they can see the dress that you're talking about.
So I know. So this is why I said it, so that I have a total excuse to put it in the post because it is, the fabric is so nice. And yeah, I really, really love it. I wish I'd had it in Miami because it was insanely hot there.
Oh my God, was it ever. I brought that black and white shirt and then I brought a bathing suit. That's all that I brought. There's also that print that I was wearing. There's a jumpsuit, which would have been very hot because it was like a kind of canvas.
I wore the wrong stuff. I just standing there, like trying to look. Oh my God. I just was sweating just standing there.
Oh, I know. Everybody was so hot. It was super humid. But I mean, you can't exactly complain about being Miami and being hot.
No. But you know what I was curious about? So you don't have any hair, so you don't have to worry about it. But like, what do the women that live in Miami do about their hair? Like, it's...
I don't know. I guess they just have frizzy hair or they wear a hat. I don't know.
I think if you move to Miami, you have to have hair that agrees with humidity or you would never move to Miami.
Yeah, no, I think so. It's you know, it's pretty rough. But everybody there is real sporty, so they just put their hair in a ponytail and rollerblade around, you know. It's not like either that or they're in an air-conditioned car and they're stepping five steps into the inside of Soho House, you know. So.
True. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't doing either of those things. Maybe that was my problem.
Yeah, you were doing the wrong thing altogether.
Yeah, next time. I was eating sushi outside. That did not, yeah.
So was that fun? Did you have a fun time?
I had such a good time.
And you stayed the whole time?
No, I was there so quick, in and out. I was, did you end up going down to that big installation on the beach by that Chinese artist?
Oh, no, I never saw it.
It was...
That's who you were there for?
Yeah.
That guy who just like wouldn't answer the questions and stuff?
Yeah, but he did. I went to the talk and the talk was amazing. So that was really good. So Audemars Piguet is a Swiss watch company and they invited me to come and do their, to document like this installation. And I was so nervous because they're like, oh, we love your Instagram feed, you know, and we would love you to partner with us on this. And I mean, who says no to going to Miami?
Yeah,
with
right.
a Swiss
That's a
watch
really great
company.
Thing.
Yeah, and they were so kind and so amazing. And, you know, I got access to everything. And so it was very, very cool. And the women that I went with that were with the client were, that's who I was having sushi with. They were so nice. But I basically flew in on a red eye. I was there for 48 hours and then I flew home.
Oh, yeah.
So well, next time I have
night,
to.
That night when my book signing was, there was other stuff going on because we left my book signing and we went to Pat Field's pop-up thing where artists created clothes and I had a bunch of my friends were doing that and Lady Bunny was DJing. And then I ran into this PR woman called Tara Solomon who had done some PR. She had done PR for me down there. And she invited me to Faina, the new complex. And there was a performance by this alternative cabaret called Charlie Wood, which was incredible in this beautiful new theater. And we walked in and saw this like most amazing performance, which was like a sexy Cirque du Soleil burlesque cabaret. And yeah, it was so much fun. And then I ran into my friend Susan and then we left there and went to the Nautilus Hotel and they had a tent on the beach. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I went to Soho House. I saw Spencer Ludwig there. It was an incredible. I spent a good part of Wednesday at the main fair going through the fair, which was really the only fair that I went to that time. But it was really fantastic.
It really was. It was so overwhelming. There was just so much good stuff.
Did you go to the VIP preview or did you go on Thursday or?
No, I was flying in then still.
Yeah. Yeah. But, we went on Wednesday because they separated the Vernissage, which is normally the opening, and the VIP preview. So I weaseled my way through Sean to go into the VIP preview, and I stayed about 3 hours or so. But it's incredible to see, you know, so much work and the people watching is amazing.
Yes, I love the people watching.
I know they just come from all over and you're like, what the hell? And some people just take selfies in front of the work, you know, and you're like, I don't know what that is about. But I mean, that's like a thing to take a picture of yourself in front of a painting. I'm like, what is that about?
I noticed that. And then people don't even mention the name of the artist.
No, they don't know what they're standing in front of.
Oh, that was kind of driving me crazy. But anyway, that's, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very, and you know, last year they had that, that woman kind of freaked out and stabbed another woman.
Yeah.
And now they had the metal detectors this year, you know, going in. So everyone always complains about it. You know, I wrote in that blog post, I don't know if you read my blog.
I did, yeah.
But Jerry Saltz was like, please don't write about the parties you're going to. Jerry Saltz is the critic, art critic for New York Magazine. And I was like, you know, this year sucked out loud, so we deserve to have a party. Like, and he said it had nothing to do with the inner life of art. And I wrote back, I will contemplate the inner life of art while sipping a cocktail next to the pool.
Yeah, no kidding. I know. I was living it up. This has been a dream of mine for years. I've always wanted to go, and I got to go. And I mean, I was next time I'd love to go even longer. And, you know, even the clients that I was with, they ended up leaving really early too. And we were all like, ah, how can we stay here longer? So I would love to go again. But yeah, like I was pretty happy to sip champagne and look at art. Like that worked for me.
Right? What's not to like?
No, I pretended that was like my normal life. Like, oh, this is just how I roll.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what everyone, I mean, some people do, I guess, kind of live like that. Yeah. And you see, you know, like we went to Soho House, I'm a member there, but we couldn't get into the party on the beach, which was White Cube. And, it was the big, fancy party. I didn't go to Kehinde Wiley's thing where Lauryn Hill played. And then Madonna did that concert for 400 people, which was like $150,000 a person or something to go see it. I mean, and Faina was finally open, so there was concerts there and incredible. I mean, it's just, there's no way you could even do, one fraction of the stuff.
No, and it's just, and you can feel the energy and, it's just, there's so much.
It was like 50,000 people that come down there.
I know, it's crazy.
It's really, it's amazing that you can even drive down the street or get a hotel room.
I thought, I'll just stay an extra night. It's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, no, you can't. I actually, through Airbnb, I found this great place, which I won't tell you about, up the beach. And come to find out, he was a friend of my friend's. And like, he has this great place with a guest house next to the pool. And I had a place to park my car. And so that part was really, that part was easy. So
do you go every year?
I've been every year since 2005, except for last year when it rained and the woman got stabbed and I wasn't sorry.
Yeah, no kidding. That's not something you really need to be there for.
Yeah. And everyone was freaked out about Zika, but apparently it just was not an issue at all. There's like one small area where there's still, the virus is around, but no, it wasn't that wasn't a big scare. So I've been, it's hard sometimes this time. Twyla, the place that sells my prints, they did the Twyla House, which was this really cool house on the Venetian Island just for artists to bring people. And then I did the book signing at Design Within Reach. So I had two things that I didn't have to do that much for.
Yeah.
And now when I go to Austin, Twyla's in Austin. So they're going to, be there for part of the party. So I had some support and I didn't have to, I didn't have to really exert myself all that much. And I write the blog and I just did that one, gigantic post about everything. So, it's always fun to go there. It's exhausting though. It really is exhausting.
It is by the end, but okay. So next year, if we can go next year, want to meet up next year?
Yeah. Well,
we'll really start planning now.
Really works. I think this is the thing. You can't plan it.
Yeah, that's right.
We're just going to have to, we'll be there somehow. It's going to happen. And like, maybe you'll get somebody that'll say like, oh, some artist needs to do a mural, and then you can, please call me.
Okay. I'm on it. I am on it. Okay. So the other thing I didn't do last time we talked was the not so speedy speed round because I hadn't invented that yet.
Oh, right.
So you
did talk about, you gave me an 80s quiz or something, right?
Yeah. And the quizzes, I didn't love it. So then I started doing speed rounds, and then I'm really bad at speed rounds because then I always want to do follow-up questions. So it's never fast. So it's now become the not so speedy speed round. I need to trademark that because that's my new thing. The not so speedy speed round. So I have some questions for you.
Okay.
This will probably take us 7 hours. So I'm only going to ask you a few of them.
Okay.
Your first summer job.
Oh my God. I worked at Astroworld, which was like the Disneyland of Houston. And I was a dancing pig in Texas in the summer, and which is 100 degrees, not inside of a pig costume. So inside of a pig costume, it's like 120.
Oh my God. How old were you?
16.
I am so glad I asked this question. I've never been happier about asking a question.
That doesn't explain a lot.
Oh my God. That's an art piece right there. Like there's so many pictures in my mind right now.
There's an actual photograph too of me. There were three pigs. And one of the ones I think I did always did quiz pig, which was like in a little sailor outfit. And the head of course comes down to your like knees. Like the head is gigantic. And then you have to learn, they have a meet and greet with the kids and you just kind of wander out there and kids would always like grab onto your glasses or pull you and you, with their parents running around, you could like shove them and, push them over. And then there was a live show where you had to dance in costume while there was a recording. So there was talking and dancing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that and yeah, there's a whole nother story about
that.
Do
you have a picture of this?
I do. There was, it was in the local, so it was in my high school yearbook, or in the high school newspaper. There was a picture of me, as a dancing pig.
Oh my God.
Now, Astroworld is now is closed and has been dismantled. And it's across the street from the Astrodome, which was like a whole big thing, like the eighth wonder of the world. So Astroworld in the 70s was like, you know, it's where you, it finally Six Flags bought it. It was like a big amusement park. And then it just went downhill and closed.
Probably as soon as you left with your pig costume.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They were like, you know what? Shut her down. Oh, my God. Can you find that picture and send it to me?
I don't know. I don't know if I have a copy of it. I have to, like, somewhere it exists. I think it's in one of my scrapbooks or something. I have, like, a picture.
Okay, well, no pressure. You're in L.A. and Austin. But
yeah, I'm not going
to
get it.
Okay, everybody then just has to imagine that in their minds.
Well, just Google search Quiz Pig Astroworld and see if it comes up.
Okay. I'm going to do that as soon as I hang up. Okay. Okay. Favorite cocktail?
Margarita.
Lime or strawberry?
Lime.
Yeah. Okay. We could have had one of those. Let's see. Ooh, this is going to be a hard one for you. If you had to leave New York, like you were kicked out of the state, where would you live?
State?
Yeah.
The state?
Yeah.
If I didn't have to think about what was going to happen in that place, I could live in London. I don't think I could live in LA, but I could live in London.
Okay. What are you worried it's going to happen there? Brexit?
No, just like if I was going to relocate there, it's about moving 3,000 paper numbers across the ocean.
Right.
You know, it's like, would I, that's the hard thing now is I have all this stuff.
Right.
And where, you know, to relocate myself in a foreign country would be a lot of work. So, I mean, I plan on summering somewhere else other than New York now, and I haven't figured out whether that's going to be Palm Springs or Marfa or outside Miami or, you know, where exactly. So I want to pick that place, but I won't be there all the time.
I'll come visit wherever that is because it all sounds fabulous.
Yeah, well, it's going to be good. That's part of my second Saturn return phase.
I like it. This whole Saturn coming back thing is really working for you.
Yeah, well, it either works for you, either go with it or it works against you.
Yeah,
you can't fight it.
No,
it's happening.
I love it. Okay, I'm going to ask one more. This is a would you rather.
Okay.
I really don't know what you're going to say to this. Would you rather have no taste buds or be colorblind?
Oh, no taste buds.
That's what I thought. But then I was like, ooh, I don't know.
I couldn't do my work if I was colorblind.
I know, but then maybe you would just wing it and who knows what you'd be making, although you'd have no idea.
Yeah, I don't want to be colorblind or any kind of blind.
Yeah, no, I know. You know that my husband is red-green colorblind? He'll be so mad that I'm bringing this up because for years he denied that he was, but he is. And
he has
so
red or green, what does he see instead of red or green?
Like gray, shades of gray.
Really?
Well, if there's a lot of red, he knows that it's red. But I'm curious what he thinks that is. Like, I think it's a bit more cranberry than bright red, you know? And then shades of greens and pinks and everything just all look like different shades of gray to him.
Wow.
But he didn't know that until he was like 35. Because he just sees the world the way he sees the world, right? So he didn't know.
Interesting. Right? I think that would be a handicap for an artist.
Right? But
yeah,
like, if that's the way you see the world, you wouldn't even know. And then people would be like, oh, their palettes are so interesting.
I guess if you're painting something where, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what that would look like. I'd have to think about that. But
I know. It's kind of,
I could do with that. I mean, I like the tasting, but I couldn't do it without the seeing.
Okay. Fair enough. That's what I thought you'd say, but I was like, well, you never know. Okay. That's it.
That's it?
Yep.
That's the last question. We're done.
Well, there's more, but like we've already been talking for an hour. Do you want to keep talking to me?
No, I mean, this is probably long enough. You're going to have to cut out half of it probably.
No way. I'm keeping all of it because that was the other thing. When I first started doing the podcast, I was keeping the episodes to half an hour because I thought that people would like a tiny little digestible thing. And then over the year and a bit that I've been doing this, people are like, no, make them long because they're working in their studio and they like to be kept company longer than half an hour.
They don't care. They're not just sitting there listening. They're not staring at a wall. They're doing something.
They're all making work while they're listening, or they're driving somewhere or whatever. But generally people are in the studio and they like them to be longer. Some people even save up a few episodes so that they've got like 3 hours and then they can just work and listen. So there you go. We've just given them an hour of like pigs and not seeing each other in Miami. We really covered the whole thing.
Yeah, I if this is interesting to someone, I'll be curious.
It was interesting to me. That pig story.
No, I like talking to you. And it doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter to me if anybody hears it or not, because you just don't know who those people are anyway. So
I know, that's right. And that's why I was so excited to call, because it's just like, I feel like it's just catching up on the phone with you for an hour and I get to hear hilarious stories and that's
That's nice. It's always fun talking to you, but I should take that back. Of course I care about all of those people and I want them to go out and buy a book.
Exactly. And I will have all of those links in my post and they can buy it and get it before Christmas.
Oh, that's good. I like that idea. And don't buy, whatever you do, don't buy one, at least buy two.
At least two,
because you're going to want to keep one and give one away for sure, I tell you.
Yeah, and maybe a couple of copies of Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk. Let's just plug all the books.
Well, you know what? You could do that on Amazon, because sometimes they say, if you like this, you'll like this.
Right.
So maybe, yeah, that's a good combo. And if you want to throw in Creative Block too.
Sure.
Then you've got the Troika, whatever you call it.
And then go and get a shirt and or dress and or jumpsuit.
Oh yeah, now we're really pushing it.
And then you're in your full outfit, you're coloring, you're reading, you're getting unblocked, like it's all happening.
Listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Boy, we've really, that's...
Yeah, if anybody does all of that, then that's called stalking.
Yeah, and I think we've pushed our luck on that. Okay, well, good luck with the rest of LA and Austin. Thanks. And Houston and all the stuff. And hopefully I'm coming to New York in March. So if you're there, then I will call you.
Well, I will come in even if I'm not there. And you have to send me your book and I'll send you my book.
Okay, deal.
What does your book sell for?
In the U.S., it is $16.95.
Oh, that's a steal.
I know.
And
right?
Online, it's cheaper.
I think it's probably like $11 or $12 on Amazon.
God, it's such a deal.
I know.
Are they stocking it at the Whitney?
Yes.
They are?
Yep.
All right. I got to go in there and say, look, see this book and see this book. I'm in that book. You should buy this book.
Well, I shouldn't say. Okay. I'm going to keep a secret too. You kept some secrets. I better not say this out loud because I might get in trouble. So I will save it until it's actual news and then I'll tell you.
Oh, all right.
I'll message you on Facebook and tell you, sorry, everybody, I can't say this out loud because I might get in trouble and wreck my whole opportunity.
Yeah, and we have to talk about your TV show too.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so much to talk about.
All right, honey. Well, okay. It's nice to talk to you, and I will, we'll be in touch. I'll send you my book when I get to a post office.
Okay, sounds good. Good luck with everything.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. Oh, my word. 16-year-old Trey in a pig suit at Astroland. That may have been the best result of the not-so-speedy speed round in the history of the not-so-speedy speed round. Oh, so many pictures in my mind. There also happens to be a picture on my site, thejealouscurator.com. Now, to be clear, it's not Trey, but it is a pig at Astroland, so I'm going to pretend that it's him. Also on my site are lots and lots of images of Trey's gorgeous work, our Miami street corner selfie, and all of the links he mentioned about his book, his clothing line, and that upcoming show in LA. And I think I'm actually going to send in a piece. And you should too. Anyway, thank you so much to Trey for always providing so much entertainment, wisdom, and his personal stories. Thanks as always to Saatchi Art for supporting the episode. And be sure to enter their sweepstakes when I announce all of the details next week. And as always, huge thanks to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.